You're listening to the Righteous Babe Podcast, the show that gives you the inspiration and practical tools you need to create a life-changing journaling practice. You may have kept a diary as a kid, but this is the grown woman's guide to journaling. I'm your host, Javacia Harris Bowser, and each week I'll offer you uplifting conversation and thought-provoking prompts to help you write your way to the best version of yourself. Let's do this. What's up, journal babes? It's your girl, Javacia, aka The Righteous Babe. And of course, that's righteous spelled W-R-I-T-E-O-U-S, because when you're a writer, you get to make up words. Today, I'm so excited because I have a very, very special guest. I have Miss Cameron Monet. Hello, hello.
Hey, I am so glad to be here. Let's get into it.
So first, I'm going to tell y'all a little bit about Cameron. You probably already know her because she's like famous. But in case you don't, she is a lawyer influencer. And you may be like, what? What is that? Well, she is a licensed attorney. She's also a content creator with over 100,000 followers across her platforms. And she's an influencer who's worked with brands like Dove and Dyson and Ulta Beauty. And she uses her social media expertise and her legal knowledge to help content creators make smart decisions when they're signing contracts and making these brand deals. So is there anything else you want the people to know about you?
No, that sounds about right. That's me. Right.
So I have been a fan of your YouTube channel for quite some time now. Most of y'all know that I am a journalist by day, and I've had the pleasure of interviewing and doing an article on Cameron before. And like I said, I've been a fan of your YouTube channel for a while and love following you on Insta. Always enjoy your content. But about 2 or 3 months ago, You posted a video that really just stuck with me. And it was only 3.5 minutes long, but it was so powerful. And the video was titled Road to 30s, My Truth About Living Alone, Singleness, and Vulnerability. Mm. And that video was just so powerful. So first I want to ask you, what inspired you to be that vulnerable on a video?
Yeah, I would say I've been on YouTube forever, it feels like. It feels like it's just something that I do at this point. It's like second nature, like saying my name. And being vulnerable online is really hard. Mm-hmm. It's hard to find the boundaries. It's hard to know when is the right time to actually be vulnerable versus times where you'd kind of be a matter of fact, because the lawyer in me, sometimes I'm like, ooh, let me put the emotion to the side for a second. But with that video, I used to get so many comments when I would say I'm so excited to be 30. Mm-hmm. And everyone was like, girl, what? Not excited to be 30. And I'm so excited because I'm so grateful and thankful for the journey that I've been through in my 20s. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I'm just going to break down some milestones that I've been through. So living alone, heartbreak, really talking about these quote unquote taboo topics that a lot of us don't want to talk about. And sometimes that's why we're so, I guess, resistant on turning 30, turning 40, right, turning 50, like turning the tables, really, honestly. So yeah, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to challenge myself to just talk about these things, because now I can go back and watch it and remember and just reflect on those moments in real time and have other people connect with it.
Yes, yes. And other people are definitely connecting with it.
I love that.
Because, you know, anybody who knows me may be confused as to why this video resonated with me so much, because I haven't been on the road to 30s in quite some time. I left that road a long, long time ago. And you also talk about being single, mm-hmm, and everybody knows that I've been married for 17 years, so I haven't seen a single life in a long time either. But what stood out to me about that video was how, so society always has these ideas about what women should, mm-hmm, or shouldn't be at certain ages, mm-hmm, what you should have or what you shouldn't be doing, like all this stuff, right? And that happens no matter what age you are.
Right.
And I love this video because you're challenging all of that, mm-hmm, right? You're challenging ideas about what women should be like in their late 20s, mm-hmm, and going into their 30s. And one of the things that you talk about is living alone. Mm-hmm. And you talk about how much you love living alone and that doing so has helped you learn to love yourself more. And self-love is something that I love to talk about. So kind of walk us through that. What are some things that you've done in this season of your life that have boosted, mm-hmm, your self-love?
And the number one thing I would say is spending more time with yourself. Mm-hmm. Whether you're married, whether you're single, whether you live with a roommate, find time for yourself. Because in those moments, when you are facing yourself, when there's no outside noises, that's when you find who you really are. Mm-hmm. That's when you realize, oh, wait, I actually do miss reading like I used to as a child. Or I actually do like going on long walks in the park. It's not just this romantic fantasy I have. I actually love it. So those are the moments where you truly feel, what do you like? What do you not like? Mm-hmm. And you can just be more yourself. I've been saying this a lot online is I've never felt more me than I felt this year. Oh, and it's so powerful. I could like cry thinking about it. It's just so, such a beautiful feeling to say like, I am me. I know who I am. I love me. I'm learning me. I'm not perfect, child. I make some mistakes. But even through those mistakes, I still find more of me. And that's always my goal, is just to be the most me I can be.
Oh, I love that. That's beautiful. Thank you. So what are some things you've learned about yourself? You mentioned like, oh, I like to read. Yeah. I like to go on long walks. What are some other things you've learned about yourself in this process?
Yeah, that it's okay to slow down. Mm. And that was big for me because I'm huge on like, let me get to the bag. Let me hustle. Let me do this. But I was like, wait a minute. I don't always have to be working so hard mm-hmm. in order to still reach my success and still reach my goals. And sometimes it's in those slow moments, the moments where I slow down, where I get more creative mm-hmm. or where I realize, you know what? I do miss talking to my mom every day. I talk to her every day. She listens to this like, girl, we still talk. But or I do miss spending time with my friends. I do miss just those moments where I just don't do anything. So slowing down has really been something that just kind of shocked me because I thought I was the person that's always on the go, always in the move, always mm-hmm. in the scene, always at the parties. And it was like, no, this Friday night, it feels good to just have this pasta with some wine and watch a little Netflix.
Any other lessons, kind of life lessons like that, that you've learned along the way? So slowing yeah. down and that you and learning that you're okay with slowing mm-hmm. down. Anything else you've learned?
Imposter syndrome is a liar, but she will circle the block.
Yes, she will.
And that's okay if she does. That doesn't mean that now you have to start all the way over from zero. Just because you go through a different season, and that's something that entrepreneurs have really just kind of I had to face myself in a different way with entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. I realized that if my personal development isn't developing, my business is not developing either.
Oh, that's good. That so preach right there.
Listen, get a notepad, okay? Because I do love to spill a little tea. But yeah, imposter syndrome was something that would ebb and flow throughout my life. But as an entrepreneur, it's really sometimes put me in a halt. Mm-hmm. But then it comes down to the, it's okay to slow down. Yes. Take this moment, face it, yes. and just walk through it. And just know you don't have to be the smartest person in the room to know that the value you bring is still valuable.
Yes, I love that so much. All right, so if y'all are listening to this and you're like, girl, I thought this was a podcast about journaling. Chill out. Hold on. We're getting to that. But first, I want to tell you about an opportunity that you have to hang out with me and to address your own imposter syndrome. If you want to find some friends who love journaling as much as you do, then you need to join me in Atlanta on June 24th for Tea Time with Write and Shine Co. Write and Shine Co. is a collaboration between my company, C. Jane Wright, LLC, and Shine by Charlene. And Tea Time with Write and Shine Co. is our first in-person live event set for Saturday, June 24th, at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time in Atlanta at the Swan Coach House. The event will include a gourmet lunch, dessert, tea service, and a journaling workshop led by yours truly that's all about how to silence your inner critic and move forward in spite of imposter syndrome. Each guest will also receive a journal gift box to help you continue your journaling practice. Each box includes a journal, 30 writing prompt cards, and a beautiful necklace with a bird pendant to remind you to trust your own wings when the fear of failure tries to stop you. Head to writeandshineco.com to learn more and to snag your ticket. So in that video that I was talking about before, I noticed that you were journaling.
Yes.
And of course, me, the big journaling queen, nerd, however you want to call it. As soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, I'm going to ask her to be on the podcast. And I'm so glad that you said yes. So tell me, do you journal often? What's your journaling practice look like?
Yeah, so I've journaled my whole life. Like, I have a diary that I still have. It's a little beat up because I lost the key to it. You know, back in the day, you had a little diary with a key.
Yes.
I lost the key. I had to break into it. So it's a little beat up, but I still have her. And I'll never forget, that was, like, the first time I really started journaling. I was, like, maybe 10, 11-ish. Mm-hmm. And my mom was like, ooh, girl, you need to get some of that out. You in that age. Take this. And I just wrote down everything. I would just write, like, things I liked or what happened that day. Or, like, oh, boy, I had a crush on in middle school or high school. I just wrote everything down. And I kind of just carried that throughout the years as an adult, and I would say it ebbs and flows. There's moments where I'm like journaling every day, I'm on my stuff, and there's moments where it's like, girl, you ain't picked up that journal in 2 months. It's time to update Miss Journal. But I'd say in the past couple years, I went through a lot of changes with like becoming an entrepreneur, honestly, law school really too, but becoming an entrepreneur, going through one of the hardest heartbreaks I've ever been through, and just elevating in my business. And you'd be surprised at how you'd think it's in the I'm struggling phase where it's hardest in entrepreneurship, but I realized it was when I was elevating of like, whoa, this is hard to like be successful, like to accept that I deserve this when I see other people, maybe they're still in that grind season that maybe I'm in a different phase. So that was when I reached out to a therapist as well. And she was like, get back to journaling. Like, what happened to it? And I was like, you're right. I forgot about the journaling. So now I do two different things. Really three. The first is just kind of a blank page journal. I just vent. Whatever comes out, I just get it out. Sometimes it's at night. Sometimes it's in the morning. I can just feel when I need to release, when I feel like it's so much in my mind. I can't think. I'm cluttered. I'm confused. And I believe in God, and God's not a man of confusion. So I journal and vent out. So whenever I'm in those phases, I know it's something I need to just get out of my mind. I'm overthinking everything. Then I also like journals with prompts. So maybe they're asking me a question and they're kind of guiding me to the direction that I need to get to. And that's really helpful because sometimes I get some creative ideas just from the questions that they ask. I'm like, oh, this is good. Let me make this into a YouTube video. And then the third way is I video journal. So I'll just set up my camera and I will just talk and vent like I'm talking to a friend on FaceTime. Because sometimes you do want to reach out to your friends and your family and your therapist. But other times it's you versus you. And you just want to get it out, rewatch it, and be like, girl, that didn't even relax. That didn't even nothing. Or it's like, dang, you're really in pain. What can we do to work towards getting you back to a better place?
I love that. And I love that you have these different types of journaling because I think, you know, some people who writing may not be second nature for them like it is for me. They may be intimidated by the idea of, oh, I've got to write down my thoughts. But if you don't, if that's not your jam, then you can just do a video journal or you can do audio or you can just type stuff in your notes app. Like I'm telling y'all all the time that journaling, just make it what you need to make it.
Exactly.
And so you said that you don't necessarily have a set routine. It's just that you journal when you feel like you really need to pour out.
Right. I try to at minimum 3 times a week.
Okay.
I don't have a set day, but 3 times a week. I look at my journal, I'm like, oh, it's been too many days. Go ahead and write in it. And I used to be strict on, like, it has to be at night. But then I realized there's some mornings where I need that. And there's some nights where I just want to read a book and go to sleep. I don't feel like thinking about the day. I'm just trying to get in that bed. So I kind of go on, it depends on what season I'm in. Right. When I'm really in a strict season, I'll say, like, whether I'm about to do a launch with business or something, I'll pick a time and I will stick with it. I just treat it like a job. It's like a meeting on the calendar. I get it done. Even if I'm like, oh, I have nothing to say. Me having that discipline and that practice in my routine, it really has helped me. So then the moments where I really need it, I naturally gravitate towards it because it's second nature.
Oh my gosh, I love that so much. So I hope y'all are paying attention to what she just said. So I love the idea of at least 3 days a week. So that's a good, for those of y'all who need a rule to follow, that's a great rule to follow. And I also, I love what you said about how when you are going through, when you're preparing for a launch, you will definitely, you'll treat it like an appointment. You put it in your schedule. I love that. So schedule out your time when you're going to journal. You mentioned this a little bit, but what role does journaling play in your content creation, both for Instagram, but also for your YouTube?
For sure. I truly feel like I'm most creative when I'm journaling or in stillness. It's something about blocking out everything because we live in a world where we're constantly like internalizing so many things. You could scroll online for days and you're comparing and it's all this stuff. So when I'm journaling, it's just me. Mm-hmm. Me and my thoughts, my inspiration, my creativity. So that's how I use it as far as like a business aspect. It really, I draw so much inspiration from me just journaling and brainstorming and venting things out. Also, it's moments where this is a vulnerable moment that I know my community needs to hear. Mm. Whether it's kind of like you were saying, like, yeah, I did Road to 30s, but you don't have to be Road to 30s to relate to a lot of the things that I talk about online, which is, I love that. I love that I can reach so many different variety of different people. So aside from the business aspect, it also is the me searching for things that I can pull out of that to share with my audience. Because I think the most successful people online are the people that are vulnerable.
Yeah.
And it comes in different levels. You don't have to tell all your little business. I don't tell everything. But there is a level of vulnerability that is makes it relatable. Yeah. Like, how are you going to reach a community of people without sharing something? So definitely. With my journaling, I get to, again, meet myself where I'm at. And a lot of times we don't do that throughout the day. And I get to pick those moments. Like, this is a moment that I'm willing to share because I've worked through it or I've talked through it. Or maybe I haven't yet and I want to see what other people think. Mm-hmm. See how they can relate.
So the video that sparked all of this, it sounded like a spoken word piece because it was just so beautiful. Did you write out that whole piece in your journal before you did it?
Yeah, I did. That was the second or third video I've done in that series. And it was just, I had journaled something and I was like, wait, not I'm a poet. No, that's kind of good. And I was like, what if I shared this, but like with a video? Because I was like, if the first time I actually recorded, that was like the third time I did it. The first time I did it, I just did it me talking to the camera. And I was like, it's not really giving what I wanted to give. Then I was like, what videos to put with it? What can I? And I just kept overthinking. And I was like, let me just put the message out there. Let me put some video clips together. So I actually did the writing like a while ago. Mm-hmm. And I have like a whole, I'm going to keep picking them from my journals, like things that I want to share and like customize it a little bit. Can't tell you all my business, the names and stuff. That's crazy. But I'll take that and I'll record just the audio by itself. Then I'll add the video clips.
Okay.
And I was trying to find my cadence with that structure of video because it's a little bit different than what I usually do. So yeah, it was inspired by a journal entry that I did like a while ago.
Yeah. Yeah, I could tell because like I said, it was so poetic. It felt like I was at a spoken word night.
Thank you. I was so nervous because it was just different. It was a different style of content. I don't consider myself, I'm joking, I'm no poet, okay? I barely can rhyme, I barely can write. But it was just so different for me. And I was inspired by it. Like, when I still watch the video sometimes and I'm like, wow, that's good. Like, who said that? And it was like, how many other entries can I find? But it comes with the timing and just knowing, okay, this is the right timing for this video. Mm-hmm. This is the right timing for this level of vulnerability.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so good. So we talked a lot about self-love. What role has journaling played in your self-love journey?
Oh, man. Definitely huge. For me, it's been therapy, journaling, and just, like I keep saying, stillness. Mm-hmm. Just spending more time with myself, being intentional about the time. It doesn't have to be like a fancy solo day. I do love a solo day. I love to get cute, go to dinner, yes. I love that. But sometimes it's just you're at home in silence. Mm-hmm. Like, it's no outside noise. It's just you. And I also like re-watching my video diary or journals and then also like like just seeing my journal entries. I like to reread them a lot just to see where I was at certain times, especially if I'm like, oh, this is the hardest moment of my life, but I got through those.
Right, exactly.
So to me, it's huge. It's huge. I feel like, again, the goal is to be more me. So falling more in love with myself by facing some of those past things and bringing them back up when it's like, oh, I don't want to think about that again. But if it came back up again, then that means you need to reevaluate that. So journaling just allows me to hold myself accountable in a lot of ways.
Do you feel that going back to rewatch and reread your journals, do you feel like that also helps you with your journey to be at peace with your current season of life?
I think so. Yeah. And I never really thought about that until you just said that. Absolutely. That's probably why I'm so excited for any next chapter. Mm-hmm. It's because I'm already so clear on the previous chapters. Like, I've already seen them, heard them, reread them, relived it, refelt it, and faced them. A lot of times what happens with a lot of us, we just don't face it. We're like, oh, I got through it, and that'll do it. And then we wonder why we keep going back and circling in the same circle. Because you need to just look at it and face it and really feel it and address it. And if you need therapy, go to therapy. If you need to journal more, journal more.
Yes.
No one else is going to do it for you.
Yes.
Like, you are your biggest advocate in all scenarios.
Absolutely. And, you know, this whole conversation was sparked by a Road to 30s video, but I feel like all of the stuff that we're talking about mm-hmm. applies to any woman at any age.
Right? Absolutely.
And so what advice would you give to any woman who's approaching a milestone birthday, whether it's 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, whatever? What advice would you give to them?
I would say, oh, that's such a good question. Because I never want to bypass the fact that there are going to be people, probably a lot of people that look at the next milestone that are like, just I'm not ready, or I'm not prepared, or I'm scared, or I'm nervous. And I would say first, like, not to throw in the journal, but journal. Be honest about those feelings. It's okay to not be excited like me. It's okay mm-hmm. to be nervous. It's okay to be scared. It's okay to not know what's next, but it's coming either way. Mm-hmm. So get that out. Feel the emotions. Be honest. Be open. But then start to think, okay, if I get a fresh chapter, a fresh new start, it doesn't matter where people think I'm supposed to be or where I think I'm supposed to be. It's okay that I'm not there. What can I do next? What is that next step? Start to think. I'm very practical, too, in a certain scenario. So what are the next steps I can do to be 1% better than I was this past chapter? Just one thing. Maybe it's, you know what? I'm going to start walking every day just for 30 minutes, just to see. You know what? Maybe I'm going to eat a salad for lunch. Fine. I'm going to get the salad for lunch. Okay. Chick-fil-A can wait. You know, maybe it's one thing you can do, and that's something that you can now be excited about. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be the entirety of, like, for me, being 30. Okay. Maybe I'm not excited about the whole thing, but I can find one thing that I am excited about, and also find one thing that you're proud of yourself about previously. Mm-hmm. And those together, to me, is the perfect match.
I love that. And I love what you said about a fresh start, mm-hmm. because so often when we, as we get older mm-hmm. and we're approaching that milestone birthday, we're like, oh, it's the end. It's the beginning of the end, right? But I love that instead, let's shift that mm-hmm. and instead see this as, okay, this is a fresh start.
Yes.
And what's the next thing, the next best thing I can do?
Absolutely.
I love that so much.
And also I'll add, like, watch and be aware of what you're taking in. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times what happens and why we feel like conflicted with the next chapter, the next milestone, is because we're comparing ourselves to people that aren't, there's no comparison. First of all, you should never compare yourself ever. Comparison really is the thief of joy. It's corny, but it's true. But be aware of the people that are around you. Who are you surrounding yourself? What information are you taking in? Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's really where the problem is. Maybe you're like, you know what? I'm 52, and everybody I see that's 20, they doing so well. I'll be looking at them too. I'll be like, how y'all already making that much money? But maybe that's the problem. Stop looking at them. Girl, you better get you some friends in the same age bracket and be inspired by them, because there's so many people that we see now are successful or that are in quote-unquote places we desire to be as a society. Mm-hmm. It took them years. It was not overnight. A lot of people don't become millionaires at 18. I'm sorry. It just is not realistic for a lot of us. So make sure that you're being aware of who's around you and what you're taking in.
Yes, I love that. So, you know, keep listening to things like the Righteous Bay podcast. So you will be inspired. You talked about prompts. And so on this show, I always give prompts. So we're going to do that in just a bit. But first, a quick little message. The Righteous Bay podcast is a production of C. Jane Wright, a website and community for women who write and create, founded by me, Javacia Harris-Bowser. Through courses, coaching, community, and virtual events, C. Jane Wright empowers and equips women to use their writing skills and their stories to make money and make a difference. We'd love for you to check out our free Facebook group so you can see what we're all about. Just head over to Facebook, search for C. Jane Wright Network, and come join us. I look forward to chatting with you in the group. So each week here on the Righteous Bait podcast, I always give you a journaling prompt. I want to leave you with something that you can kind of work through the week. And so this week, your prompt is, what can I do to love myself more in this current season of life? So we've been talking about self-love. We've been talking about appreciating the season of life that you're in. So let's bring that all together with, What can I do to love myself more in this current season of life? So that's your prompt. But wait, I got something else for you. So if you watch Cameron's videos, you know that at the end of each one, she leaves us with an affirmation. And so I've asked her if she would be so kind as to leave the Righteous Babe audience with an affirmation today.
Absolutely. Thank you. And I'll say this is my favorite part of every video is the affirmation. I try to make it relatable to something that happened in the video. About the podcast, I was like, okay, what could it be? We talk about self-love, self-care. So I'm going to leave y'all with this one. Comment below. You made it to the end of the... I always say comment below at the end of the video. I never share what the affirmation is to the end. So if you are here, we are glad to have you. The affirmation is, I am deserving of a life that brings me fulfillment and happiness. Mm. I'm going to run that back.
Yes.
One time,
run it back.
I am deserving of a life that brings me fulfillment and happiness. And you are. I promise you. Each and every one of you are beyond deserving. Even if you don't think it. I promise you are. Everyone deserves that.
Yes. I mean, y'all. The doors of the church are open.
Come on, somebody.
Where can folks find you online?
Absolutely. I am in the internet streets, y'all. You can find me at Cameron Monet on YouTube, Instagram, and Miss TikTok, y'all. I had to get on TikTok. But YouTube and Instagram for sure. I love it over there. Never hesitate to reach out if you have any questions, comments, concerns. I'm here to be a resource. I truly, truly am just thankful and grateful to do what I do.
Well, and I'm truly grateful that you would come and share with us today. So thank you so much for being on the show. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
And that's it, y'all. So as usual, hit me up on social. Let me know how your journaling journey is going. I'm at Righteous Babe on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all the places. And you know, of course, how to spell righteous. But in case you don't, it's WRITEOUS. So hit me up at Righteous Babe, and I will talk to you soon. That's it for this week's episode of the Righteous Babe podcast. Remember, you have the power to write your way through anything and to the life of your dreams. Happy journaling.